we were going up this windy road and some guys with t-shirts over their faces jumped out in front of the van, shot at the van, so there are bullet holes in the van. They opened up the side door, they asked for all our money, backpacks, anything of value, so they pulled all our stuff out. Then they started pulling us out of the van. We had to lie face down on the side of the road.
Okay, welcome to the podcast, everybody. I am Dr. John Duffy. Hopefully you have found the right place. I want to express my appreciation for your time and your energy here in this space. I don't take it for granted. I really appreciate it. And I know my guests do as well. Speaking of which, I have the luxury of sitting once again across from Peter. If you have not heard Peter's first podcast from the other day, I strongly encourage you to go back and listen to that. Effectively, Peter was telling us about kind of a bumpy, is it fair to say, bumpy road through academics from about fourth grade to the end of high school. And at the end of that process, he decided instead of jumping right back into college and doing the same old thing again for another 4 years, he would do a gap year. So we're hearing more and more about these gap year programs. And I'm going to ask Peter to tell us a little bit about his, what he did, what he learned. So first, remind us, where is it that you went?
So I went to Central America. I went to four countries in Central America. I went to Guatemala, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, and Honduras over the course of 3 months.
Got it. You probably had options, right? A lot of them. How did you pick this one?
I had taken 4 years of Spanish in high school, and I had worked at a restaurant where I spoke a lot of Spanish with the other busboys. So it felt fitting to go to Central America and hone that language skill some more.
Got it. So Spanish-speaking countries specifically, did it work? So sometimes I've heard people talk about going to a Spanish-speaking country after taking high school Spanish and feeling like, oh my God, they're speaking a different language. Did you feel like you could hold your own?
Yeah, I felt like I had I wasn't like the best Spanish speaker in the group, but I definitely had some useful skill and I was able to build on that and it was successful.
So you developed it over the course of the year.
Yeah.
So if we did the rest of the podcast in Spanish, you'd laugh me.
yeah. I would hope so. I hope I'm ready for that.
So tell us about, if you don't mind, like maybe an indelible experience or two, like, you know, something that kind of defines that year for you.
Yeah, sure. So, let me think. So you get there and you don't really know what to expect. So you have, you know, you meet up with all the other people and there's I think like two groups meeting at once, one group going to also Central America, but you know, they split us up.
How many were you with?
Well, because I was doing the full year program, I met with all the other kids that were doing a full year, and then we like got split up into our respective countries and stuff at the airport. So I think there was about 40 kids who were doing the full year thing, and then I was with 11 other kids and two leaders for the semester.
Got it. So it wasn't just like you were with just a couple of kids. This was a pretty big cohort of people.
Yeah, there's about seven girls and five guys.
Got it. Got it. Are you, just to jump ahead a little bit, are you close to them now?
A little bit. So the ones that I can see, I do see from time to time. But I definitely haven't seen everyone. I've seen the most people out of anyone else in my group, just because I do so much traveling now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I try and stay in contact.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so you meet up with these people, and you're kind of sent to your respective countries.
Yeah.
So where did you go first?
We went to Nicaragua first, and it's kind of weird because you're like with these people that you don't know, and you're super tired from flying, and you're trying to be friendly, but you're also like, all right, I'm like living with these people now for a long time. So it's a little strange, but if you have like an open mind and you're friendly enough, you can be successful and, you know, make friends.
Right. Was it in the early going nerve-wracking? Was it like, did you ever have that moment of like, mom, dad, this is the wrong idea, you know, buy me a ticket. I'm heading home.
No, not exactly. There are times where it's like, oh man, I'm just ready to move on to the next activity or the next, you know, city or something like that. So it was a little bit hard to live in the moment because it's like, yeah, I am kind of ready to go home because it's hard at some points, but, so in the moment it's kind of tough, but looking back on it, it was so much fun and I wish I could do it again.
You really do?
Yeah.
So when you get to Nicaragua, what do you do? What's the point of the gap year here?
So we get there and we're staying in this little hostel and we get to know each other and we do all sorts of, you know, team building exercises.
Right.
And then, I think one of the first couple of days they pair us up, and they give us a map and we do like a little scavenger hunt around the city and it's like, all right, go find, you know, these places, you can talk to people and just kind of figure out how to find your way in a city you've never been where you don't really speak the language that well. That was the first, activity.
Got it. Seems like a nice, the right progression, right? Ease you into this experience,
yeah.
Okay?
So that's what we did, and then we would do fun stuff at night, like we would go out or we would just, I think we had like a dance party one of the first few nights, and that was kind of awkward, but... It was fine.
I suppose there's going to be something awkward.
Yeah,
too,
yeah.
Right? That would have happened at college the first
year
too.
Right. Yeah. So we. So it was a lot of stuff like that where you grow in the situations that they give you, so you can be a more capable human being.
Right. Yeah. Right. And are you given challenges? Are you supposed to help people who in the towns that you're visiting? Are you just supposed to really kind of travel and navigate? And is that the skill you're trying to develop? Or what is it, walking away from your time in Nicaragua, what are you supposed to have learned?
So then after we spent these first couple of days in this town, we went to a Spanish school and we were, you know, like a few of us in the same Spanish level, we would be with a teacher. I think there's like about four different groups of us. And so we would just do Spanish lessons throughout the day. And then we would go out at night or during the Spanish class, we would go and we'd go look at the town and stuff like that. But
are you teaching or are you learning?
We're learning.
You're learning.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So you're taking Spanish classes.
Right.
Right.
So, but one of the things I think was interesting about the program as a whole is that we got assigned roles each week, and each week the roles would shift. So, for one of them, you would, if we were traveling that week and you had the role of housing, you would have to go and you would find the hotel we were going to stay at, that the group would stay at when we were traveling, or if you were the transportation guy, you would have to organize transportation. Somehow we were literally making the program happen as the program, you know, progress and as you learn.
So you're the adults here.
This
isn't laid out for you, like this isn't a field trip.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were getting it set up.
And it can't get screwed up, right? If I understand you right, like there has to be a hotel, there has to be transportation
right.
to get around.
There was one major screw up that did happen. I'm not sure if you heard about this, but we were like 2 weeks before the trip was about to end, we were robbed at gunpoint.
Tell me about, I have heard about this experience, but if you don't mind refreshing my memory and telling our listeners about that, what happened? What was that like? We're smiling, but I'm guessing this wasn't a happy day.
And this isn't like, before I go into this, this isn't typical for, you know, most gap years. This was the first time that this had happened in our for this program, but it is
probably an important pause, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That this might not be your child's experience, and let's hope it's not.
Yeah, but it is a reality of going to a third world country as an American. We were about to do our forget what it was called. It was the where we planned the week. And we chose the places that we were going to go.
Just like a meeting of some kind,
yeah.
Just kind of a planning meeting?
Yeah. We had chosen to go to this, we had to go to, Guatemala City. This was in Guatemala, by the way.
Right.
So we were going to go to Guatemala City from Lake Atitlan, which is this lake, and it's beautiful, and there's volcanoes around it. And so we had chosen to go to this kind of natural, forest preservation place with these beautiful green emerald pools. And so we were headed in that direction, but before we could leave the lake, because it's a touristy area, we got stuck up. So we were going up this windy road, and some guys with t-shirts over their faces jumped out in front of the van, shot at the van, so there are bullet holes in the van. They opened up the side door, they asked for all our money, backpacks, anything of value. So they pulled all our stuff out. Then they start pulling us out of the van. We had to lie face down on the side of the road, and we just, lied there holding hands. And then, when we realized we weren't going to be executed, we got up and hugged, and then the police came and stuff. So,
that sounds about as terrifying as anything could possibly mm-hmm. be, right? Was it as terrifying as it sounds? Is this something that happens regularly in Guatemala? Is this something you were prepared for in any way?
The program didn't prepare us like this any day, but it's pretty typical in Guatemala. Lots of unrest there. There's a civil war there recently.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty typical. Everywhere you go, you see guns. You see, guys who are delivering, soda to the different shops. They have shotguns on the trucks. The police have assault rifles. So you see the guns, but I wasn't prepared, and it was scary, but while it was happening, I remember being very clear, and I remember, being cognizant of what was going on.
What though goes through your mind specifically, Peter? You're face down on the ground, and there is this possibility that you're going to be executed.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking?
I was, at that point, I don't know, because at one point I was like, okay, in the van, I was like, okay, they're not going to kill us because they haven't really killed us yet. And I thought the guns were fake. I didn't realize that we had actually been, shot at, because they sounded like cap guns.
Right.
But it wasn't until after that, we got up and we looked at the van and there weren't bullet holes in it. So I was like, wow, that actually, we could have died. But while I was face down, I was like, I don't think this is going to happen. Because after a while, when you don't hear any gunshots, you're like, all right, I guess.
Right. So the logical mind says, okay, they would have done something by now if they were going to do something. But there's also the emotional mind that, were you terrified?
Not so much. It was scary, looking back on it. None of us could sleep that night because we were in shock, but
yeah,
it was scary, but it wasn't, I wasn't traumatized.
Do you think it changed anything fundamental about, the way you look at life or anything like that? Or do you feel like, no, it was just a really odd experience and a traumatizing, just distressing experience?
It doesn't really change how I look at anything. Just that, it's going to sound kind of cheesy, but you only do have one life, and this stuff does happen
mm-hmm.
in the world. I mean, it could happen anywhere you go. It can happen in Chicago. It could happen, in Baltimore. anywhere you go. So this is just one of the situations where I cross paths with these people.
I'm kind of blown away by how calm you are and the perspective that you had. And it, even then, it sounds like you kind of like were thinking through like, okay, well, this happens. It doesn't seem like these guys are going to kill us. It seems like you were very logical about the whole thing.
Yeah.
And was that a one-time only thing over the course of your gap year where you thought like where it was reasonable to think your safety was being threatened?
Yeah, but I wouldn't say that was true for like, you know, like the females in the group. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit more distressing if you like go out dancing and stuff. Just with the whole machismo culture in Central America, so they always have to be on guard. Whereas for me and the other males, it's different. Where that was like the first time I really felt unsafe.
That kind of reminds me of like rape culture on college campuses here, right?
Right.
Yeah. Where you know it's like I had when I dropped my son off, I had this talk with him about respect for women. Mm-hmm. My niece, who's in the same school and the same age, I had a completely different talk with her, which seems radically unfair, you know. And yet she has to be cautious in a completely different way than he does, and you know, it's kind of wretched. And I can tell that was maybe even more true for the girls who were on this trip with you, huh?
Yeah.
Were you vigilant for them?
Yeah, like if we were out, you know, especially at night. You just try and stay in a group, and then but you hear like the cat calls and the whistling and stuff. So it's, you know, I mean, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
You know, because you're not gonna like get in a fight with these guys and then go to jail over this. So.
Right. And you don't know what that Central America or that South American jail is gonna be like, right?
Exactly.
Or okay, so lest somebody you know, stop listening now and think like, okay, it seems like you're going to get, you know, shot possibly if you go on a gap year. Tell us some of the good, you know, tell us some of the things you learned, maybe a couple of the experiences that were really enriching for you.
Sure. Yeah. So, you, like I said earlier, you learn how to function in a city that you've never really been before. And the beauty of it was that we were going somewhere new about every 2 weeks. We wouldn't stay any place longer than 2 weeks. So you have a whole bunch of experiences crammed into these 3 months. And so it goes by slowly, but it also, you know, you have so much time to like learn and think. You learn so much new stuff over the course of this 3 months, and you don't really at the time you don't really notice or realize if it's important or not, but when you look back on it, it's like, yeah, I really, you know, this was really helpful, and it seems like, you know, you're never going to use some of the information, but it just kind of trains you to keep an open mind and say, hey, I don't really, there's a whole lot in this world that I don't know.
Right.
So if you keep an open mind, you can learn more.
Wow. I mean, that alone is massive perspective, right? To recognize, because I think sometimes when you grow up in kind of maybe a suburban or even urban bubble here in America, you don't know what you don't know. You don't know that there's a whole lot about the way the world works that you don't know. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine just having these experiences, and they feel so immersive to hear you talk about them. It's not like you were staying on the fringe of these cities and towns in these countries. You were part of the culture, and so you kind of got a feel for how these people live in different parts of the world. Was there any experience that surprised you most about how people live somewhere?
I took another 3 months in Guatemala by myself after I came back at the end of the first 3 months, and I went and I was working on an environmentally sustainable school. I was helping build that with a project called Long Way Home, and so I was living with a homestay there, but I realized how convenient everything is here in the United States, and how everything in these developing countries, it just takes so much longer to get stuff done. So for example, we would have to bring, because the school was being built on like a higher altitude than the rest of the town, we would have to bring water up there for I'm not sure if it was for their actual, you know, to have like running water to like wash your hands and stuff with, but we would have to bring water up there. So we'd go into the center of town and fill up the back of this pickup truck with these huge barrels that we'd fill up with water by hand. But while we were there one time, one of the trucks that the organization was friends with this family that had all these trucks.
Uh-huh.
So they would use that for some of their projects, but the truck, it turned off while we were, you know, filling up the water.
The engine died.
Right.
Okay.
So I went with the guy, the Guatemalan guy. We walk over to, they owned like a hotel and they had like a little compound with all the trucks. We got a battery out of one of the other trucks, put it into the first truck, you know, clipped it in, turned it on, took the battery back out, and then walked it back over to the other truck because they didn't have batteries for every single vehicle that they owned. So
you're kidding.
No.
Wow. Boy, that's a great story. You talk about perspective, man. There weren't enough batteries for the trucks that were there.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's not a very first world problem.
Right.
Yeah, that doesn't happen around here very often where, hey, I need your battery to start my car.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So,
and you had to transport this water up to the school for whatever reason, because they needed water up there.
Yeah. And so we would, and, you know, we would have to, like, you know, put tarps over the barrels and kind of like ride, someone would ride in the back of the truck to make sure it didn't really like knock over or spill too much water and stuff. Everything took more time and everything is less convenient in these countries.
Yeah, it sounds like it. You know, I think so many of us don't want to get our hands dirty enough to learn something like that. You know, I'm just, in a way, I completely like honor your willingness to do this. How did you decide, like, okay, I'm going to go help build this school? This was not part of the gap year necessarily, right? This wasn't part of the program.
Well, it was I signed up for the full year program. So I did the 3 months and then you do the other 3 months on your own.
Got it.
So the first 3 months kind of, you know, with all the planning and stuff, it kind of gets you, you know,
acclimated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the program that I chose, it's not, I found it through the original program, which is called Carpe Diem Education, by the way. But they kind of set me up and I gave them some parameters for what I wanted to do. I wanted to be in a Spanish speaking country. I wanted to work outside. I wanted to live in a homestead. So I tell them this during my first semester, and then they kind of came up with a bunch of different programs that I could look at.
Right.
That might fit. And so I chose this one and then I had to apply to do it and then, you know, get everything set up. And then I was out of there in another 2 months.
And what was the takeaway from that experience, other than I picture toil? I picture you worked really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you were building a school. Did you learn construction?
I didn't learn traditional construction because part of the program that these people were doing, they wanted to employ local Guatemalans. So the main goal wasn't to, you know, get this school finished as soon as possible. It was to kind of teach these guys how to build like an eco-friendly school so that they can go on and then, you know, build more eco-friendly buildings in the neighborhood and whatnot.
And economically, did they need that? I mean, was that a big part of the mission to build something that was eco-friendly and kind of create a model for them?
Right. Yeah, and that's what the school, once they got it running, they had already had first through fifth grade already running. But when they got the high school finished, part of the graduating class, they would have to build a home for someone in the town that was eco-friendly. So wow. it was a vocational school.
Got it. Okay, so in the full scope of the gap year, were there one or two kind of primary either lessons or just kind of surprises, something you learned that, you know, that you take with you as you come back to the States to the life that you left?
It would just be to just keep an open mind, be ready to learn, and there's magical things happening in the world, so to just to be accepting of that and to be open to that, and you can attract those things.
Did your experience feel magical?
It did, yeah.
Yeah, can you, I'll put you on the spot here. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? What felt magical about it? Like, it feels very pragmatic. It feels like you learned a lot about how people live. What was the magical part?
That it really did change my life. Because like I said before in the first podcast, school was not going well for me, and this really changed who I was, and it gave me the tools to succeed in college. So now I'm in college. I'm a Spanish major, and it's going great so far. So
take us to that. Take us to that next chapter for you. You know, so you get back, and life doesn't. You know, you don't lay down on a couch after a gap year and, okay, I'm done. I'm just going to hang out and watch Netflix now.
Yeah.
What happened next? You know, how has your life gone since you returned?
So when I got back, I worked two jobs that summer before college. I worked at a restaurant bussing tables, and I also I was slicing meat at a deli counter at a supermarket. So I was very motivated.
Way more so than before?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to school, and I already felt like I was better than everyone else, that I was just more prepared.
Just for that experience, for all that experience down in South America?
Right, yeah. I had a very clear view. I felt like my head was clear, and I was ready to take on anything that might go my way.
So you built up, if I hear you right, I'm just going to paraphrase here, you built up some resilience, a knowing that you are competent that carried you through. You were, if you were anxious at all or questioned yourself in high school or in middle school, those questions were gone. You
right.
knew you could handle this.
Yeah.
Was this kind of like, almost like, I can totally handle this. This is like nothing next to what I've been through.
Yeah, it was... I was, at the end of the gap year, I was like, man, I am ready to go to school. I'm ready to do this.
How did you know that for sure? I mean, I picture like your experiences that you're talking about feel so different than school
mm-hmm.
that I would think like, I'm ready to build an eco-friendly school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to travel. I'm ready to speak more Spanish. How did you know you could handle school?
I was just, at the end of this year, you are, you know, tired of all the uncertainty and stuff, so it feels good to kind of get into a situation where you know what you're going to be doing day to day, and you get to be around kids your own age and stuff. Because for the second part of the semester, I was with people in their late 20s and 30s, and I was like,
really?
I was the youngest person there. I was like 18. When I was in Guatemala.
Must make you feel very adaptable, huh?
Yeah.
That's probably why you're really good at talking to people who are adults. You're expert at it, aren't you?
Right.
Yeah.
So I felt ready to be around kids my own age. And and it felt good to get into school. And I felt ready to learn. I felt open. So.
And is it bearing itself out? Do you feel like, oh, yeah, it's going really well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So... once you're done at college, what do you picture the future looks like for you?
I wasn't sure, and I'm still totally not sure, but because I am good at planning and I'm good at visualizing the future for myself and what goals I want to accomplish, I think I want to help other people do that and start to get into life coaching a little bit.
I think you're going to be amazing at that. And especially, I think, because you've got some experience outside the norm. Do you think that helps you a lot?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. You seem to have perspective that, and you're 20.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I wish I had perspective like this at 20. Yeah, I think that's really cool, and I think there's young people who will benefit from your life coaching, you know, your experience, and you know, you'll be able to teach people a lot. So, if you were talking to people at a gap year fair, let's say you had a booth and people were coming just to get a feel for whether this is a good idea for mm-hmm. the for their kid, what would you say to people? On the whole,
well, I actually did go back and I did speak at the booth.
Oh, good! It's not theory, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
So I would tell them, yeah, if you're feeling like maybe you're not ready for college or maybe high school didn't go so well for you, then and you're open to taking some time off and you're open to learning, it can be a great experience and you learn a lot about yourself and prioritize and just learn about you.
Well, Peter, I am really grateful that you stopped by, shared your experience and your mm-hmm. wisdom. I hope you'll do it again sometime.
Yeah, of course.
Awesome. So thanks again to Peter. Once again, you can find this podcast on iTunes, Podbean, WGN Plus, soon to be on a website called liveleadplay.com, which is the website for IPEC coaching, which Peter and I are talking about life coaching. That's a life coaching based website. On my website, you can find a free parenting video series. Check that out at drjohnduffy.com. If you have any thoughts, questions, comments, or ideas for this podcast, something you'd like to address, or if you'd like to be a guest here, follow me on Facebook, drjohnduffy.com, and just drop me a message. Once again, I appreciate the time that you take to spend with myself and my guests. My thanks again to Peter, and I will talk to you next time. Thanks so much.